eat. A little girl that never smiles, cause I've got braces on my teeth. And I know how it feels to cry myself to sleep. I'm that kid on every playground who's always chosen last. A single teenage mother trying to overcome my past. You don't have to be my friend. Is it too much to ask? Don't laugh at me. Don't call me names. Don't get your pleasure from my pain. In God's eyes, we're all.
Dot with you on another Jumbo Braille program here on the Success Radio Network, saying welcome one, welcome all to the program tonight, especially our surrounding city and states and our countries near and far, as well as those who called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press number one, join the conversation, because tonight we got a special guest in tonight. We have Simone Cooper in tonight, an activities planner for the visually impaired. So we'll be learning a little bit about that here in a moment. But Sister Ruth, who do we got with us on the board tonight?
Oh, we always got the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Band of Angels. We got you, Brother Jim, Six, and this beautiful woman. Okay, and me.
All right. So, Simone, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. I'm sorry. How are you?
Doing well. You sound loud and clear there, so we got you good. All right. So first off, first tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay. Well, I'm from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, born and raised here. As you said, I like to plan different activities for the blind and visually impaired, and I've been doing that now for a few years. I don't know what else. I am a woman of God, a woman of faith, so I do love the Lord and appreciate my relationship that I have with him. So every day I'm grateful for that, and that's pretty much how I've been able to get where I am now, by grace and mercy and the favor of God.
Okay, I also understand that you're visually impaired yourself.
Yes, I am. I have been pretty much for the most part of my life. I think maybe since about age 2 or 3. But a few years ago, I lost more vision. So I do have some vision in one eye, and I have no vision completely dark in my other eye. So
okay,
no vision,
what condition caused
vision.
That?
I have a condition called Marfan syndrome. It's a connective tissue disorder, and, you know, your retinas is connective. They're connective tissues. So my retinas are weak. They're stretched. So I was prone for retinal detachments, and I had one in each eye. I had my first one when I was 9 in my left eye, and the vision didn't fully come back. Like, it's been very, very blurry. But I had my second one in my right eye about almost 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. And the vision, it didn't go away right away. It was more so gradual. After I had to have emergency surgery, they reattached the retina. And it was still some vision, but it was just very dark, very dim. But when I would go to the doctor and they would ask me, like, how many fingers am I holding up, I was able to see it. But unfortunately, about 3 or 4 years ago, I lost the vision completely to glaucoma. So I
okay.
can't see out that eye at all. Mm-hmm.
All righty. And so with that, can you tell us a little bit about how that affects your daily living?
Absolutely. So, of course, you know, we know that there's a lot of different things that we can still do. You know, we don't allow our challenges to stop us, but in reality, we do have to do things differently. So I use assistive technology to kind of help me do some things, but, you know, I do need help to do other things. So I just try to make sure that whatever I can do, that I do that. You know, that having independence is so important. So those things that I am able to do independently, I do appreciate, but I'm not ashamed or even opposed to ask for help and understanding that that's pretty much where I am. Sometimes, you know, we get frustrated because we have those reminders where, you know, while I'm independent and while I can do these things over here on my own, sometimes we have those reminders like, man, you know, I'm not the same, or, you know, I need help in this area and I have to wait for somebody to help me, you know, so we have those moments, but I am grateful that in those times that I do need assistance, whether it be in the home or outside of the home, I am grateful that I do have, you know, people or someone in particular to be able to help me. So yeah, it's just a matter of doing things differently.
Okay. For example, in the kitchen, do you cook yourself or do you have to have help with that?
No, I cook myself. Well, it's both. I cook myself, but my mom is my mom. So you can't stop your mama, you know, from wanting to bring you things. But I do cook. I don't use any you know what? I was going to say I don't use any particular devices, but I do use bump dots to help me. So I have bump dots on my oven, so that way I'll know like when it's at 350, so that can kind of be my guide to let me know which way I need to go. And then I also use the bump dots on my microwave when I need to use the microwave. But other than that, in the kitchen, oh, you know what, I do have those it's not the Of Glove brand, but I do have some of those gloves when necessary. Most of the time I don't use them, but I do have the Of Glove. And I have an old pen friend here that I need to update. So those would be the only things that I really use in the kitchen as far as assistance.
Okay. Have you ever used graduated measuring cups, for example?
No. I have a regular measuring cup. It is hard to see because it's like a It's clear with red writing. So what I have to do is I know that I kind of like count the notches because it's a little, it's not tactile, but you can feel it. So I know the piece that I feel at the top is 2 cups. So basically I sometimes count down or count up to know when I'm at a cup. And when that's a problem, I just use the measuring scoops. I don't know, I can't remember the actual name, but the scoops. You know, like the 1/4, what is it, 1/4, 1/3, half a cup.
Mm-hmm.
Those are my go-to when I can't really make out the other ones. You know, instead of getting frustrated, pull it out. Because one is best for liquid and the other one's better for dry ingredients, but it works all the same. It just depends on what's going on with my eye at that time.
Okay. How about clocks? Do you have, like, talking clocks or anything special there?
I don't have a talking clock, but I am actually looking at a talking watch, but I don't have a talking clock. I do have one that has a very large display. It doesn't talk, but it's a black background with white numbers. But it's very
okay.
Good for me to be able to see. Yeah, so it's not a talking one, though.
All right. You know, just certain things around the house that I'm kind of asking about, because certain things I have that other people use don't use. Okay, for example,
mm-hmm.
I use a talking scale, you know, to weigh myself. You ever try
mm-hmm.
one of those?
Yes, I'm actually in the market for a new one because the other one I had kind of gave out on me. So I do like that because when I stand on the scale, I can no longer look down and see what it says. So I need it to talk to me. So, yes, that's something that I definitely utilize for sure.
Okay. And about a computer, do you use screen reader technology or do you use the magnifier setting?
I have it's a magnification software, so I use ZoomText. It does
okay.
have the screen reader capability, but I don't really use that as often. So I use the magnification. So I have the high contrast as well as the magnification.
Okay. All right.
Mm-hmm. And I also
and
use
the Ruby. And with that, what kind of things are you able to do on the computer?
Your regular activities, you know, without the magnification and without the high, you know what, even with the high con, without the magnification, I wouldn't be able to perform anything because I wouldn't be able to see it. So I can, you know, do my emails, go on the website, everything you do on a computer, I'm able to do. as long as I'm able to see it, I can do it.
Okay.
You know, with the magnification. So I'm pretty tech
okay.
savvy when it comes to that.
Okay. And then going outdoors, how do you navigate around? Do you use like one of those talking GPS, like a tracker or whatever, or a cane or a dog?
I use a white cane, yes. The aluminum folding cane. Excuse me. Sometimes I do have the straight cane, but I would typically only use that if I'm going somewhere that doesn't have, if I know ahead of time that it's not going to be, you know, rough terrain or something like that. But typically I have my everyday go-to cane is the aluminum folding cane.
Okay.
And then I always
have
my sunglasses.
Okay. Have you ever considered getting a talking GPS for added navigation?
To be honest, no. That's not something that me personally I have been interested in. I mean, I've heard people talk about them and they seem interesting, but nothing for my personal use that I would be interested in. Honestly, you know, speaking.
All right. And have you ever considered a dog guide?
Mm-mm. No. I think I'm not going to say I didn't consider. I mean, I thought about it maybe like really quick, but I've never had a pet before. So that would be like a big deal. I mean, I didn't even have as much as a fish. You know what I mean? Like, I've never had a pet. And so the dog, there's a lot that comes with that. So it's not something that I feel like I need right now, but I wouldn't be opposed with, you know, if my vision started to change and that's something that I think would be more suitable for me. I think at that time that's something that I would definitely revisit. But right now, no.
Okay. All right. And then moving on here, okay, how did coming from your visually inconvenienced background, how did you, or I should say, where did you go to school? Did you go to a specialized, like, school for the blind, or did you have regular mainstream schooling with regular sighted kids?
It was a mixture of both, actually. The school that I went to from first to eighth grade, it was a mainstream school, but they offered classes for those who were visually impaired. They used to call them visually impaired classes, but we would call them VI classes. So they had the mainstream classes, and then they had the VI equivalent classes. So there's the mainstream first grade, you have the VI equivalent first grade, all the way up to eighth grade. So I was in the VI classes from first through sixth grade, and I used to tell my parents, I don't need to be in these classes, you know, but I was there from first to sixth grade, and then they mainstreamed me from seventh and eighth grade, the last 2 years.
Okay, and then after that, you went to a residential school?
A mainstream high school. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I actually have a little experience of the same as you're talking about, is what they call them over here where I live, sight-saving class.
Okay.
And then I was I also had mainstream classes with actual sighted students, and then when I went to high school, I went to a school for the blind, a residential school,
okay,
where I was actually with a bunch of other blind students.
Okay, they do have that here. They do have one here. And I know I was asked if I wanted to go there or did I want to go to a mainstream high school. So I had decided to go to a mainstream high school. So it was an option. They do have it. They do have one here. But it was just an option that I chose not to take, and I went to the mainstream high school.
All right. And then after that, did you go to college?
Yes, I did. I went to two different colleges initially for my sophomore year. I went to one school, and then I was transferring. And in the process of me transferring, I went to a community college here. But I then transferred and graduated from Temple University with a degree in communications. But my concentration was broadcasting.
Okay. And
mm-hmm.
How much work did you do in that area?
The only work experience that I've ever had in that area was when I had my own radio show in college. I had a show for 3 years. After graduating, I never worked in the field again. Most of my skill set and my jobs were really in human services, social work. That was really where my heart was. So I never, I tried to get into broadcasting, but it seems like that was always a challenge for me for whatever reason. So I just went with my heart and just continue on with human services, which is, you know, just enjoying helping people, which can be very broad. But I worked with the homeless, with children, with seniors, and those who are duly diagnosed with mental illness and substance abuse, just, you know, really trying to help people get back on track with their lives, and that was my passion. So broadcasting, I just didn't really do too much with it, to be honest.
Okay, and then after that, was that when you moved into the activities planning?
No, that actually came with my circumstances. You know, after I had the retinal detachment in my right eye, I was in school. I was in grad school. I was 2 weeks into grad school, actually, working full-time, 2 weeks into grad school, and then I had this situation with the retina detaching and had to leave school and everything. It was just a lot going on. So, mind you, I haven't really been connected to the blind and blind and visually impaired community since I left in eighth grade. You know, so now here it is. We're talking some almost 20 years later, a little less than maybe about 25 years later. And, you know, I just said, man, I'm going to have to find somewhere where I can get some training. I need mobility training. I got to, you know, learn how to use a cane so I can get back to my life, you know, get to travel and do all of that. So I did connect with the association that we have here for the blind and visually impaired, and I was able to get my mobility training, computer training, more so just with the keyboard. I did all those things. And that's where I met my other peers, you know, people who are also blind or have low vision, excuse me. And it's with connecting with them that, you know, people wanted to do different things, and they always talked about, oh, it would be nice if we did this, it would be nice if we did that. So I took it upon myself to start creating these different opportunities. You know, instead of just wishing that we can do those things, let's go ahead and plan it. And that's pretty much how it was birthed. It was birthed back in, I want to say, about 2016, 2017. Is when I started the first thing, the first activity, and then from there it just kind of opened up to doing other things, you know, because I feel like, you know, we don't have to just go to the center every day, which is fine, you know, thank God that it's there for people to do that, but that doesn't mean that your day or your life has to start and end at that one particular place. What are some things that you're interested in? What are some hobbies? Okay, let's go ahead and do those things. Where do you want to go? Okay. And I love to plan events. So I would just get ideas from them, and then I would just try to make it happen. So that's pretty much where it came from this time around, and reconnecting with this particular group of people.
Okay, so how many people are you working with at present?
It goes by event. So usually what I do is I plan something, whatever it may be. So, like, for instance, the one thing that I did that I started out with is called the International Cuisine Club. And basically what that is we go to a restaurant each month that represents a different culture. So we're basically exploring culture through cuisine. So what I do is I put the information out there. I let them know this is the date that we're going. This is the information for the restaurant, but this is the day you need to RSVP. So it's based upon how many people RSVP. So we would, prior to the pandemic, we would have about 20 people a month that would come. On average, maybe 15. But, you know, we have about 15 to 20 people that would come. I just did a luncheon. We had about 20 people for that. I did a bus trip to the Amish country out here so we can go to an Amish restaurant. And we had a bus full of people to go there. I had a chartered a bus, and we had a bus full of people to go out there. I'm actually planning something right now with rock climbing, planning another bus trip, planning just different activities. I'm asking them what do they want to do. For some reason, bingo is really loved in our community, so I'm planning another bingo night. That's something that I want to do. We want to go to the theater. So it's another activity. So it's basically based upon the event because I have them, you know, sign up. So based upon how many people sign up, that's how many people that we come to each event. So it's not like it's a one group and then it's just us, you know, same 10 or 15 people. We open it up, and I tell people to pass the word around. So if you know someone who's blind or have low vision, this is my information. You know, well, here's the information for where we're going or what we're doing, and here's my information. They can give me a call if they're interested. So it varies by event.
Okay, let me give you an example. My wife and I and a friend of ours is a gospel singing group called the Asheville Angels. Now,
yeah.
If you were to work to plan that event, like, say, a concert, how would you go about that?
Okay, now you're talking big time now. I haven't done anything on that scale. So I'm walking into uncharted territory. But I mean, if it's something that I've never done before, right? Because a lot of the stuff I didn't do before, right? So it was always a first. So it's a concert. So I would want to sit down with. You said it's a gospel group.
Yeah, we're the gospel group, and say you wanted to plan on us doing a concert for you. How would you go about that?
Okay. Well, I guess first off, before we do anything, I would have a conversation, because it's so broad. When you present it to me that way, it's really broad, because I have so many questions. You know, am I the one that's throwing it? Are you my guest? Are you wanting to receive any funding? Is it a volunteer thing? Do we have to come up with the budget? There's so many preliminary questions that I would have, right? That's just how my mind goes. But the first thing I would do before you do anything, well, not before you do anything, after we've had that conversation, we would choose a date. After we choose a date, we have to choose a venue. Because those are the things. Without the venue, nothing's happening. But you need to have the date to make sure that the venue is available. Once we lock in the venue, then we can start planning everything else. You know, what do we want this concert to look like? What time do we want to start? How long do we want to go for? Well, how are we going to sell the tickets? How much are the tickets going to be sold for? You know, there's so many different things, but that's pretty much what I would do. Start with having a conversation so everyone's on the same page. You know what's expected of you, and I know what's expected of me. So therefore, there is a meeting of the mind where there's no confusion. And then once we all know what our roles are and obligations are, I can then delegate, you know, people to do other things that I need them to do, and then just make sure that I do what I need to do and that we're all coming back and reporting and making sure we're on the same page to make sure that when that date comes, whatever that selected date, you know, comes, that everybody's ready to go ahead and see this concert. But it's just so much that's involved, so it's kind of hard for me to answer that question, but because I ask a lot of questions, and I do that because I don't want to leave room for confusion. We don't want confusion to get in the way. So
right.
I don't know if that's an easy answer or not, but my mind is just so much involved. And that's the one thing that I want to do, is just make sure that we're all clear and make sure that it's going to be something that's reflective of, you know, the overall goal or desire.
Yeah, well, for our group, I've planned a lot of our concerts, and I know what you're talking about, so I was just seeing if, you know, how you would do it, but you pretty much said the same things that I had to do in process for a concert. So, okay, now, here's a little different angle for you. And Six might join in on this question here in a sec. Knowing that we are, especially this particular program, is based upon those with inconveniences, the Jumbo Braille program, and you had a little experience with communications and radio. Say we wanted you to be one of our radio personalities for the Jumbo Braille program. Okay? Now, say we wanted you to be one of our radio personalities for, like, say, 1 week a month. Okay? And you to take one of the shows. Okay?
Okay.
What kind of shows do you think you'd bring to the air?
So I can do anything that I would want to do.
As long as it's based on a disability or something like that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I do like the format that you have already, where someone can talk about how they overcame or how they're continuing to overcome the challenges. So I definitely would want to include that. But I would also... I know that I want to be able to highlight people who may, I would, you know, give them a platform. Maybe they sell a product or maybe have a service, and I would allow that to be a platform where they can come and talk about their business. You know, instead of focusing on the disability, you know, let's focus on the creative ability that they have. So if it's someone who, I don't know, knows how to, maybe they offer some AT experience, you know, some AT assistance, you know, maybe they have a business where they can come help people with their devices, you know, maybe it's something where someone makes clothing or whatever it is. I would want to be able to put them in the spotlight where we can give them a platform to be able to talk about their business.
Well, it's actually what we've done already several times. We had a lady on that was talking about the a screen reader, okay, that she deals with. It's not JAWS. It's another one, okay?
Okay.
NVA.
Oh, yeah.
And then we had a guy with a lawn care business on. We had a couple of people with different other type businesses on. So we've already done that. So it's kind of something we've already done.
See? Well, if you would allow me, that's what I would do. If I had that opportunity to do that, it would just, I guess, be a continuation, because I'm always about giving people an opportunity to come and share. You know, they don't have to, so many times people want to charge people to, you know, do things. And if I have a platform, if I have an opportunity where, you know, I can share that with other people, then that's what I'm going to do. You know, I'm going to give you the chance to have a spotlight. So those would be the two things. And if you're doing it, then I would continue the format.
All right. Well, Six, do you got a couple of questions on your mind here?
Thanks for allowing me to join in. Simone, welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. I was just sitting back. You know, it's like I was a listener. So my thing when I interview people, I like to talk about humble beginnings. How was your childhood growing up? With your visual challenges? Were your family supportive? Were your friends supportive? Growing up, would you have an inconvenience with sight loss? How was that growing up?
Well, it was very challenging because I felt like people really didn't understand. So a lot of times I just suffered in silence. So obviously going to a school where we have mainstream and then you have your VI classes, you know, I had other friends who were just like myself. And then I had other friends who may have been in the mainstream classes. But once I got to a mainstream high school, you know, I didn't share anything with anybody. And I did have challenges where I couldn't really see the board. You know, I'm slow with taking notes because I'm constantly trying to look up and look down, and I'm behind. So I did have to confide in a friend or two so that way I can copy their notes. You know, even then it was, you know, a little nerve-wracking to share because at that time and that age, we care about what people – well, not people, but our peers. We care about what our peers think of us. So I didn't want it to be where I share – with my friends, and now they're no longer wanting to be my friends. But I'm grateful that the two I confided in, I didn't have to deal with that. But, you know, nobody really understood, you know, just walking, you know, and traveling, taking a bus and everything, it had its difficulties. And my family, I don't really think people really understood what I was going through. But I think a lot of it is because I didn't really talk about it. I wasn't really vocal about it. You know, because I know that sometimes there's a lack of empathy. You're barely getting sympathy, but, you know, there's, you know, and I guess the lack of empathy is because they really didn't understand to what degree, you know what I mean? And when you feel like people don't really understand, you're not going to open up. So it caused me to be more closed off or whatever. So it was hard. It was hard even throughout college. I couldn't see the board. You know, it's really by the grace of God, you know, not being able to see the board. Sometimes when I'm walking around campus, it was things that I had to do ahead of time just to make sure I can be prepared the first day of class, you know, trying to find this building, because sometimes just being outside and looking at a sign, I may not be able to see it as clearly. So I had to look at the map and try to map it out and do it. Just, I had to do a lot of preparation, you know, just to not stand out, you know, like a sore thumb. So I really just had to do preparation, whether it be a night or two or so before. But when I did share with some friends, even a few years ago when this happened, this latest, I guess, loss of vision, some people didn't really understand, you know, but I don't care. Now, as an adult, I don't really care as much as I did when I was a child. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't really care. This is who I am. You either accept me or you don't, you know. But as a kid, we care about those things sometimes.
Absolutely. Yeah, I can agree with you because, you know, when I lost my sight, I went through my hell. I was angry. $16. I was angry, but I got through it. I got through it.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole thing is, nobody knows how it is to have sight for all your years, and then not to have sight. You know, so each day you and I, Ken, and the other 60 million people who are totally blind or visually impaired are living that truth each day. They're walking by faith, not by sight, you know. So we actually live in the Bible each and every day. So outside of your sight loss, what's your motivation? What keeps you going?
To be honest, you said it. It's really my faith. You know, I couldn't imagine going through this and not having a relationship with the Lord. So I'm really grateful to God that it didn't happen before I got saved, because I really don't know what would have been my anchor. I really don't know how I would have handled this, but I'm so grateful, because even in the frustration and even in the challenges of life, I always try to find the positives, and I'm so grateful that it happened at a time where I had a sound relationship with God, right? And even then, it doesn't mean that I had a moment of being fearful. I had a moment of just being so overwhelmed. But when I realized that, Lord, you are not a God of mistakes, and I understand that I have to accept what you allow. So if you allow this, then I need you to give me the grace to get through it. And that's exactly what he's been doing. You know, there's been those days where I just had to cry in the very beginning. And I'm not even saying, you know, some 9-plus years later, I'm not even saying that I don't have those days every now and again. But when it first happened, the loneliness I felt, you know, when everybody says they love you and they care, but nobody's coming around and the calls are fading, and, you know, it really was just me and him. Thank God for my mom, who was there with me, so I wasn't completely alone. But you still have those moments because you feel like, you know, yes, you know, they're here, my family's here, but they don't really understand. Or you have those moments where it's like, you know, why did it happen now? You know, I just started grad school, you know, all those different things. But once I just had to accept what he allowed, he helped me along the way. Singing my worship song, crying out to God in prayer, and it really is the relationship that I had, being able to talk to him every day, being able to cry at his feet every day, being able to sit there and feel his embrace every day. And it continues on now. It's my faith. It is not about just knowing of God. It's because I truly know him for myself. And that's how I've been able to get through and continue to get through.
Beautiful.
He is my
Beautiful.
Answer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like how you answered that, because a lot of people, they don't keep their faith consistent. You know, a lot of people, unfortunately, view God as a genie. You know, let me rub the lamp. Hey, God, grant me these wishes. They look at God as a wallet or purse, and he's so much more than that. And I'm glad you got the outlook that you have. But outside of your sight loss, you have been through some other serious situation. You want to talk about that? Because, I mean, that's the reason you're still here right now.
By the grace of God, right? Yep. So, yes, I also had open heart surgery at age 23. So the thing about that is I didn't have health insurance for like 2 years. And so I wasn't keeping up with my appointments with my cardiologist. Because even prior to having heart surgery, because of the Marfan syndrome, it not only affects the, the eyes and the spine and all those things, but it affects the heart. So I was always monitored by a cardiologist from when I was first, diagnosed.
Could you explain that condition for the listeners?
Like I said in the beginning, it's a connective tissue disorder. So, like, the connective tissues are weakened. If I get a cut, my cut may not heal as fast because my tissues are weakened. Because everybody who has Marfan may not have the same exact symptoms, right? So there's so many different things that can be caused by Marfan, but it may not affect all of us the same way. But as far as the heart, what tends to happen is that the aorta can be enlarged and your heart valves can be weakened. So what they end up doing is at some point, I'm speaking in the most common terms because I don't know all the medical jargon, right? But so what they do is they will monitor you to make sure that your aorta isn't expanding so much. And once it gets to a certain point, they like to do surgery because what happens if it continues to expand, it can expand to the point it ruptures. And if it ruptures, you die, right? So that's why I was being monitored ever since I had the diagnosis. My eyes, I had to go see the eye doctor to make sure the retinas and the lenses and everything are okay. And then you see the cardiologist to make sure that your heart and your heart valves and the aorta, all those things are working properly and are, at a good size. So what happened was for 2 years, I didn't have the insurance, so I missed my annual appointment. And my siblings also had the same. My father and my siblings had the disease as well. So when my sister went to go see the cardiologist, he said, I need to see Simone. And when I called, I let them know, like, hey, I don't have any insurance, and my cardiologist, he's more than just, a doctor that just hurries up and just sees you and get rid of you. He is truly an example of a doctor that has great bedside manner, and he really cares about his patients because he told me, don't worry about it. Come in pro bono because you need to be seen. And it was at that particular visit that they saw that my aorta was expanding. It was already fluctuating from the last few visits that I had, and it was jumping, increasing and decreasing. They were afraid that it would just increase again and rupture. So we had to go ahead and prepare me for open heart surgery, and that was 15 years ago. And I thank God that, the surgery went well. I get teary-eyed thinking about it because I always say if he did not have the heart and said to come in and I'll see you for free, don't worry about the payments, we just need to see you and make sure everything is okay. If that didn't happen, I wouldn't even be here today. Grateful that 15 years later, I'm still going strong. When I go for my checkup, they say everything sounds good, everything looks good, so... Praise be to God.
Took a lick, you're still ticking, and that's a beautiful thing. And what's the name of the cardiologist that did the surgery and the one that told you to come in pro bono? What's his name? We'd like to highlight him here on the 6 Hours Radio Network.
Dr. Alexander Davidson.
Well, thank you.
He's been my cardiologist since I was a child.
Well, thank you, Dr. Ollie Davidson, for keeping Simone here with us. Beautiful soul, beautiful spirit. And we're glad that you're still with us.
Thank you.
That's a beautiful thing. Yes. Mm-hmm. Beautiful thing. Now,
I appreciate
what is
that.
Yes, yes. Of course. Now, what are some of your hobbies outside of being the event planner, coordinator? What's some of your hobbies that you love to do?
Well, I just started getting into the audiobook. I was so against the audiobook, to be honest, because I just could not focus. But now, I'll tell you, me and Bard are tight. So I'm reading books like in one day, you know. So I like to listen to the audiobooks. Every now and again, I try to revisit my little writing skills. As far as poetry, it's been years, and I feel like maybe that gift has died, but trying to resuscitate it. So try to delve into a little poetry. I love listening to worship music. So there's times where it's nice and loud in the house, and then there's times where I just have it playing softly in the background. And I guess that's my main. Oh, I love crossword puzzles. I have one on my Kindle. So when it's not straining my eye, I try to do it the other day, and it's just a little too much strain now on my eye. But I definitely try to get that in when I can. To do a crossword puzzle. Not a word search. Not a crossword, but a word search. I'm sorry.
You use Sudoku?
You know, I'm trying to get... I always seem to get both sides and can't seem to finish. I get stuck. So I tried. I'm a novice. I'm just getting started. I sit there and I try, like, what in the world? Like, how do you do this? This is a trick. This is a trick. So, no, I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet. It's actually been a while because I got a little discouraged. So.
Okay. And who are some of your favorite gospel artists?
Wow. The thing is, if I'm honest, sometimes it just plays and I don't remember all the artists. But I do love Elevation Worship, Maverick City, Tasha Cobbs, Leonard.
Maverick City?
Yeah, definitely. Maverick City. I'm telling you, Brandon Lake, all of them. Chandler Moore, Naomi Rain, all y'all, you know. And let me see. I mean, I kind of like a little bit of, there's some other ones that I'm just learning, and I'm so sorry. I don't remember their names. Their music is so beautiful, and I'm trying to learn people's names. There's another one called Restoration. I don't know. Amazon Music is just introducing me to some new people, these beautiful songs. But then you have your typical, like your Pamela Mann, you know. I don't want to say typical. I don't mean it like that. But I mean like your classic, I guess I would say. Pamela Mann, Jason Nelson, Jonathan Nelson, Jessica Reedy. I also like, what's her name, Jamie Grant. There's Matthew West. Kings of Country. Oh man, so I could, the list goes on and on. If it's good music, I'm
listening to it. Corey Henry?
Huh?
You ever heard of Corey Henry?
Corey Henry?
Yeah, check him out.
I can't say that I didn't, because it may be a song that I know and just haven't been able to attach it to his name yet. I know Corbis of the Corey. Reckless Love, I know that Corey. I can't remember his last name, but I don't know about Corey Henry, but I can look him up. I'll go and look him up after the show.
Yeah, look him up. I guarantee you you're going to like him.
He's a prodigy. Okay. All right, Mr.
Corey Henry.
Him,
yeah, when you hear him, since the age of 4.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, Corey Henry, I would definitely take a listen.
Yeah. All right, well, I'm not going to monopolize the whole interview, but this is an interview with Simone Cooper, event coordinator, among other things. Anybody have any more questions for her? This is the 6000 Radio Network. Phone lines are open at 424-243-9617. Anybody else have any questions?
Okay, Ruth, who do we also have on the show that might want to ask questions?
Even herself might have some questions.
Okay, we have, of course, the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Man of Angels. We have you, Brother Jim, Six, and this beautiful lady. And me.
Okay, so
I just have a comment. I actually graduated with a degree in social work, and it was hard, but, you know, I think I can use that more in the ministry now, because all that head games get a little silly. You know what I'm talking about.
Yes. Yes. But it's good to meet a fellow social worker.
Okay.
Anybody else?
You were talking about authors. Do you have any specific authors that you like on BARD?
Well, I'm a newbie. So there was a book that I was introduced by Kimbala Lawson Rovey, and I read that book, so now I'm actually reading her series. So I haven't branched out yet. I'm stuck in this series, but I'm hoping that I get to branch out a little bit more from Kimbala and read some other genres. So
okay.
I'm kind of stuck there now.
Do you like romance type stories?
Yeah, I don't mind a little romance. You know.
Okay, well then I could suggest an author for you. Actually, two of them. Lori Wick.
Okay.
She's a Christian author.
Lori
Wick. She's a Christian author. Okay. They're kind of they're the old. You could almost think of them like a Little House episode type story.
Mm-hmm.
And they take you back to that era. And you know about the 1800s, 1900s, and that age when they drove wagons and that kind of thing. But they're Christian romances. And then if you want more modern ones that have got a Western theme, if you will, and they're more secular, you would go for Katherine Anderson.
Okay. Katherine Anderson. All right. I got it.
Because both
Thank
of those are
that.
Very good authors. I'm a avid reader of both.
Okay. Well, I'm going to take a look because I just said I wanted to, read some other books. I think I want to take a break from the series right now.
And then if you like Amish type romances, you might go for either Beverly Lewis or Wanda Brennstetter.
Brennstetter, okay. Well, thank you for that. I appreciate that.
Because those got an Amish theme to them.
There you go. It's not too far from here.
So, kind of a Beverly Lewis, hers are all centered around Burton Hand and over there in Pennsylvania.
That's what I'm saying. It's too far from here. Burton Hand, I actually took the group to that restaurant.
Yeah, so you'd understand those books a lot better when you read her books over there, because it centers those books there.
Okay.
So kind of a few authors to give you to consider.
I appreciate that. I will explore. I'm always taking suggestions because there's so many different things out here. It's different books, different authors. So thank you.
And then, of course, I wrote a book myself.
Oh, come on, sir. Okay.
Yeah. If you're into research-type material, biblical research, this is it's an in-depth study on marriage and sex.
Okay.
It's not in an audio book yet. I'm trying to work on getting it done that way. But you could go to Amazon and you type in God's Elijah to the church.
God's Elijah to the church. Okay.
Right. Elijah is spelled like the prophet Elijah. And then you'll see a book title pop up, God's True Plan for Marriage and Sex. That's the book.
Okay.
And it comes out it's in 18-point print.
Oh, no, I can't do that. I can't. Is there an e-book?
No, it's not on e-book, but it's in 18-point print, so it's a larger print.
Well, you know what? Actually, on the website, there's a whole series that you can listen to on love, sex, and marriage.
Yeah,
okay.
A long time ago, we did a series on Six Eyes Radio Network where that's where the book came from, is when I did that whole series on the Six Eyes Radio Network. So we did the whole complete study right there, right here. It took several years to do it.
Love, sex, and marriage?
Love, sex, and marriage. Definitely had to put the kids to bed. They had to hibernate for about 3 years.
Yep, and you'll have to go back. The best place to look is blogtalkradio.com/sixeyes.
Okay, will do.
And then you just go back through the archives all the way back to the beginning. You'll see where it was on a Saturday show when it started out, the Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang show. And it talks about love, sex, and marriage. You'll find that, and that's where you start.
Okay. Well,
and you
I'm
just go through each of the shows.
Okay. I need to go listen to that. That sounds like a great topic. It's necessary. We need to talk about it. Sometimes the church don't want to talk about sex, but as long as it's in the context of marriage, absolutely.
And trust me, we're talking in-depth. We used every verse from the KJV Bible, from cover to cover.
Beautiful.
We cover it all.
Okay.
And we got into very explicit materials such as rape, incest.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can't name a topic that deals with marriage or sex that we did not cover.
And all this was in the Bible. All this happened in the Bible.
Yep. There's rape in there. You see rape in there. You see incest in there for sure.
And so I mean, it was in there. We covered it. And we weren't bashful when we covered it. That's why we told the little kiddies, we had a little blurb at the beginning of the show about that this was going to cover sensitive material and it was not appropriate for young ears.
Right.
So
we made sure to let
the little kiddies to bed.
For mature audiences only, right? Rated R.
Yeah, we had to rate those shows.
Yes.
Even though they were Christian, we had to rate those shows.
Yeah, because you still want to, you know, use wisdom and, you know, be mindful of, you know, who's listening. So absolutely.
Yep.
Not meant for the kiddies. Okay, well, I'm definitely going to go and take a look. Thank you for sharing that.
So, okay. In your travels, okay, when you use your cane, I want to hear about some of the what we would call bloops and blunders. Have you ever had bloops or blunders, like you've run into something or something like that?
Absolutely. I just had one today. You know, because there's times where, you know, okay, so I still have some useful vision. So you try to use your usable vision, right? And sometimes you can't always depend on that. And that's why I had to learn how to, you know, depend on other things like your ears. But there's just times where you seem like your eyes may play tricks, you know, tricks on you, like, is something there? Is something not there? And then sometimes something may be there and you just really don't see it. And I've bumped into many walls, you know. I've bumped into many columns. I've bumped into, you know, there's times where I thought that I was, you know, going in one direction and get turned around, like, how in the world I end up over here? And for me, especially when the sun is shining really, really bright, I already have a lot of blurriness to deal with in my left eye. It's very blurry. But when it's a sunny day, it just makes it all the more worse. It's just too bright. It's too bright. And you try to maneuver, and, you know, I said, hey, if you're not bumping into anything, you're not learning. You're not living. It's going to happen. So, yeah, there's been a lot of times where I'm bumping into not just walls, but something maybe on the floor, like the wet floor signs. I've knocked a bunch of those down. just don't know how I missed it.
No. Those walls didn't, you didn't bump into them. They walked out in front of you.
Absolutely. Right. That's it. Right, they cut me off. They jumped in front of me.
And you know what? They walked out in front of you.
Not at all, right?
Right.
And you know how
ain't our fault that they walk out in front of us.
You ever say, like, excuse me to something? You think it's a person, and it's really like a wall or something. I have to laugh. And
today.
I was in the store, and it wasn't so much a cane thing, because the cane wasn't the issue, but I positioned myself, and I was looking for what I was looking for, and the one person that was in the aisle, she left. I didn't hear that somebody else came in the aisle. As soon as I turned around, I bumped into her, and I'm so sorry, because I hate doing that, but she was understanding. So, you know, if it's not a box, it's a human. If it's not a wall, it's a column. It's something, you know. There's some things the cane misses, and there's some things that I miss altogether, and, you know, we get acquainted by bumping into it. You know, hey, what can you do? I was a little embarrassed.
Don't you wish those things would just quit walking in front of you?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, but the bottom line in all this is keep going, keep moving, no matter how you do it. I think you're phenomenal, and it's a pleasure interviewing you tonight. And the Six Eyes Radio Network want to thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Yes. And we want to send condolences out to, we lost Queen Elizabeth today. She passed away at age 96. So we want to send condolences out to her family and everyone in London on the passing of Queen Elizabeth, 96 years old. So condolences from the Six Eyes Radio Network. Just praying for strength and comfort for her family at this difficult time.
Yeah.
Yeah, she used to always carry that little clutch, that little purse with her.
Yeah, it's really sad. Sad.
Yes.
But thank you all for having me, and I, you know, appreciate the time to tell my story. A little bit of it, a chunk of it.
Yeah, you definitely can come back. Always have an open invitation for the Six Eyes Radio Network. Anything you want to promote, you know where to come.
Thank you.
Yes.
Appreciate it.
Not a problem. So you just enjoyed the Jumble Braille program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. Rufy, if you can check that box. This show will be available right after the broadcast, or it will be up within an hour or two on iHeartRadio. You'll get notification of the latest show, the Jumble Braille program. So for myself, Wolfgang, Rufy, the rest of the team of the Six Eyes Radio Network, we had tonight Simone Cooper, event coordinator of various events for the visually impaired. She's the planner. She's the coordinator. So thank you, Simone, and God bless.
God bless everybody.
God bless everyone.
God bless
and
you all. Bye-bye.
All right. Good night from the 6000 Network.
And come tomorrow for AJ and the Squad at 9 p.m. God bless everybody.
Have a great night.